Hello, Howard J. Ford and John Ford from The Dead 2 India. How you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you doing?
Well, welcome to Upcoming Discs. We're happy to have you along.
It's a pleasure to be there.
Well, got to see The Dead 2 India just a couple days ago. In fact, we got to talk to Joseph Milson last Friday about it, and he seemed to really enjoy it. But for you guys, since he wasn't a part of the first one, for you guys, I have to talk a little bit about the first one, because it seems like you guys went through literal hell to get the first one out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. John, shall I start, or do you want to go?
Yeah, no, you go for it.
Sorry. Yeah, well, Dead One was one of the most nightmarish experiences, I think. Probably the worst period of time of John and my life.
Yeah.
I mean, stuck out in Africa, beautiful place though it was. You know, I was mugged at knife point on day one. The lead actor, Rob Freeman, contracted cerebral malaria and was within 2 to 3 days of dying.
Wow.
And was on a hospital trip for 2 weeks. It took us 5 weeks to get our equipment out of customs there when we were being screwed every day for money. So we had an entire cast and crew stuck in Africa doing absolutely nothing for the first 5 weeks of a 6 week shoot.
Wow.
And then when we did get going, most of the shots John and I did were discussed in between vomiting, you know, from botulism and it was just miserable.
Well, then I have to ask you, after going through all this, what made you decide to keep on going? Because it looks like you guys maybe would have been forgiven for just saying, you know, we've had it doing this. But you got back on the train and you decided to make The Dead 2. Why?
Yeah, I mean, John speaking here. I think also it was part of that everything went so wrong on the first one. And we felt, actually, we didn't get half. We didn't get a fraction of what we wanted to get. And The Dead 2 was sort of a second chance to go out there, correct all those wrongs. We went out there with hindsight, and hindsight is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Going and visit is like going back to visit the school bully, but you practice your right hook.
Did you need the right hook this time?
Oh,
yeah.
We did, but we were ready. As John and I always said from the beginning, even while we were writing the script, and we knew we were writing things that were going to be incredibly difficult. That's like self-flagellation or something, I don't know.
Like paragliding away from zombies. I mean, yeah, that's not going to be easy.
Right.
Yeah, but we said if we couldn't do something, on The Dead One, we were knocked for six every time. It was so awful that it just felt like, okay, this time, yeah, we know we're not going to be able to go in and just film the things we want. We're going to be stuck here and there. Let's have other things up our sleeve. So in other words, we'd have another scene to film, or we wouldn't just whack our heads against brick wall till we got it.
Uh-huh.
We would change the scene immediately to what we could do. If we couldn't have, you know, 10 army men, 10 army trucks, we'd have, you know, one man on a bicycle. Whatever we could do to keep going, we would do it.
Well, and it sounds like you did get through this one. Let's talk a little bit about the casting. Joseph Milson, who, like I said, we talked to already. Tell me where you found him and what the thoughts were behind casting him in this role.
John speaking here. I mean, Joseph, we've actually worked with in almost 20 years ago, actually, on a short film. He was fresh out of drama school, and we were sort of hot, hungry young filmmakers working our way up. And so, yeah, we worked together. He was a great actor, even back then, absolutely superb, and so completely dedicated. We always said, oh, we've got to do a movie together sometime. And it took maybe 20 years, but it finally happened. And he's actually, he's quite well known out our way. And,
you're a big fan of his weekly film? I was, yes, Howard speaking. I used to, one of the few series I used to watch each week, as I'm not a big fan of too many TV series, even though they're all vogue these days. I used to watch him in Holby City. You probably don't get that in the States.
No, we don't.
But it was something he was on every week, and it playing sort of handsome doctor chaps doing his thing. And I always thought, God, this guy, you know, having worked with him already and knowing what he's like, he was brilliant in that, but he was sort of acting on a TV series for the movies. So what the stuff he was doing was more for movie than it was for TV, yet there
right.
He was doing this regular series, I'm sure,
uh-huh.
You know, for the money and what have you. But and I just thought, we've got to get him in a movie. And then when we thought, when The Dead 2 came up, I mean, I just thought straight away, he's the man. And what a lot of people don't know is I invited him down to Cannes in the 1970, we had a 1972 Gran Torino. It's a Ford, which is probably fairly predictable.
Right.
And I drove it down to Cannes. I invited Joe along mean, he had a movie showing down there or something, and he didn't know it at the time, but he was basically being cast. I wanted to know, was he an arsehole after 3 days? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
We want to work with people we know. So it was kind of a casting, but he didn't even know it.
Well, and that's important, especially when you're talking about the kind of guerrilla conditions you guys have had to work under. It's important to have a staff and cast that really works well together, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not just about the acting talent, although he's got oodles of acting talent, which
right.
is great. But yeah, he's this kind of guy who's up for a challenge, a real big challenge. And if you're on a death cell, you've got to be up for a challenge in an extreme circumstance.
Absolutely, but you're absolutely right about what you said, Howard, speaking that first and foremost, for me, when casting or crewing, and I'm meant to be doing another movie in Morocco starting next week, but anyway, is number one, you know, are they people you can work with under stressful situations?
Exactly.
I'd almost sooner take, and we are not saying we've ever done this, but I would, given the choice, confronted with someone who has, you know, 80% talent level, but is 90%, or versus a person who's 90%, works well under pressure, I'll go for the other person, because you know what, that in these sort of difficult circumstances shines through, you know, you can
yeah.
work, as long as you can work with people under pressure and they're not giving you stress and giving you hell and making your life miserable, then that's going to work.
Well, and something we also talked about when I talked to Joseph was the young actor who played Avid. They had such wonderful chemistry together. He was such a wonderful little actor. Tell me how you brought that element together.
Oh, yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned him, Howard, speaking, because I met him on the second recce. In fact, John and I, and John, you were very rightly worried. I was quite keen on the boy part, and as you said before, you were very worried about, because could we find a boy? Would it be irritating to the audience to have a boy? And we went out to India for the first recce, tried to do a bit of casting, could not find a kid to play that part. I went again on another recce to tie up a few things, one of them being the casting, and we almost toyed with the idea of changing this guy to be an adult soldier.
Oh.
But at the last minute, this kid came in called Anand Goyal in the Barry John Acting School in Delhi, where I was doing some casting from at the time. And immediately, this guy was like he was 9 years old, never been in a movie before, had done the acting course there, and he was just brilliant. He was like a young man who'd lived other lives before. I know it sounds dramatic, but he
yeah.
came with a certain gravitas and a certain understanding of life that
mm-hmm.
was able to say the words.
Yeah.
Because it's such a relief. He was brilliant.
Well, yeah, and the chemistry is what sold me. I enjoyed watching them together.
Thank you.
Now, you talk... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Sorry, no, John, I think, John, you started to say something there. Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just adding also that he was an incredibly sweet kid to work with. As Howard said, I was extremely worried about casting a child actor, especially for a role of that size, and to have him there the whole time, but he was just gung-ho, so sweet, never irritating, and, I mean, there's none of the sort of Hollywood working hours business, you know, it's like, we're
right.
filming all night, and we're not going to stop filming till the sun comes up the next day, and that's kind of the way it went, and he was just up for it, you know, so we couldn't ask for a better actor.
No, he was certainly charming in the film. You also talked about in the first one how because of the issues you went through, you left a lot of things undone that, of course, some of them you said you put into this film. Is there anything you had to leave on the floor in this one? Is there anything that you wanted to do badly in this India film but you did not get to do?
Great question, John.
Yeah, in fact, Howard, you may answer this better than me because you've read the script recently. I never like to read the script after we've shot it because I'm
Yeah, there were little details. It's funny enough, it's a great question, actually, and
thank you.
Not a question we've been asked before. Basically, yeah, I know, it's interesting, normally it's the other way around. But we got to do much more in the Dead 2 than we wanted. But there are definitely details missing from the script. We had initially an opening sequence. This is the one that sticks with me. We had an opening sequence before... In other words, before you see the India, we flashed forward in time in the original Dead 2 script to this sequence where our main protagonist is in the desert and he's on his absolute last legs and he almost gives up. And then He finds something amongst a dead soldier on the ground, and
that's the dead one, isn't it?
But it was a different version of it. And then he's attacked by this horrendous, zombie with no legs.
Right.
Remember, John, in the beginning of the
script? Yeah, that was originally in the dead one.
But we also didn't get to do it in the dead one.
Yes, that's right. He never made it to either of them.
No, that's right. So that one tortured us still. And then there was other things that happened in that sequence that pulled out to a really kind of a big, intense action sequence kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's such a shame that one has missed both one and two. So, hey, if there's a three, that's the one we insist upon.
Well, I guess that's the ultimate question. Will there be a three?
That is a question.
We kind of like to know the answer to that ourselves. I suppose, John speaking, it really is down to the fans.
It might be, especially for a filmmaker. But, well, I guess I have to ask you, one of the things that these two films show, and I'm wondering if that's a trend you'd like to see going forward, is in each of the two films, you've incorporated a lot of the local culture, a lot of the local religious beliefs and ideologies kind of into the zombie thing, which I think makes it a much more unique experience for the viewers. I'm wondering if that's an intentional thing that you would like to carry forward, and what would be the next place that you would like to take this to?
Yeah, John speaking here. That's absolutely right. I mean, those are the things that really interest us, you see.
Yeah.
If you're going to experience Africa, then we take you on a journey to India. You've got to not just experience the landscape, but also the culture, the religion, the philosophies, and the old legends, all this sort of thing.
So absolutely.
Really give you a total immersion in that place, and that's what we wanted to do with the Dead. And I think, absolutely, if we make a third one,
And thinking forward on that, so what would be, if someone asked you that, what would be the culture that next you would like to explore and to kind of meld into this mythology of yours?
Well, I was thinking that China was interesting.
Yes.
We've discussed that. We've discussed Thailand as well, moving into sort of that path.
And even Afghanistan, didn't we? Yeah.
It came up. Afghanistan came up. But I think, we might have to do that one in another country.
Yeah, maybe. Be safer.
Yeah, exactly. That one really would kill us. But no matter what we do, we'd have to explore the beliefs and the legends, etc., of that culture.
Well, the other thing that fascinates me is whenever you see brothers that work creatively together, because I know a lot of siblings that couldn't work together at all. What's the dynamic between you two? How do you distribute the workload, and how do you decide who does what? How does this work?
Our goals are very similar in a way, and we're both attracted to the heart of it, as I was saying earlier, not just, we're not there just to dish out gore and blood,
Right.
We're trying to make something, I suppose, a little more intelligent. So we're definitely pushing in the same direction in that way. For me, I'm a bit of a technical junkie, if you like, and I love sorting out technical problems, so I cover that. And Howard is great at the producing side and the organizational thing, so he's good at sorting that out, and then hopefully we come together to actually direct as well.
Right.
Sometimes our opinions
moments. We generally have, the good thing is, the positive side of it, when we're working together, we have a bit of a shorthand in terms of, we don't need to communicate too much to go, it's that type of shot.
Sure.
And the reasons we're doing it, we kind of know the ins and outs of those details. I think the frustration, if there is one, where we might, you know, obviously, co-directing is a difficult one because it generally is better that it comes through one person. I only set out to really direct, and John, you had to deal with so much of the technical side. That obviously must have been a frustration.
Yes, for you. It was. Yeah.
And there's a lot of it when you're in the desert.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and especially for you, John, I got to tell you, you have a lot of on your shoulder if you're going to be a filmmaker named John Ford.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot to live up to there, and I don't even have John Wayne on my car.
Well, but you know, there is one similarity. When you watch the Indian movie, I think one thing John Ford was known for is, of course, those great vista shots and those great locations. And what I admire for your India shot is that you didn't go to the common places. You went to some of these out there places, these ruins and stuff. I think they really added atmosphere in that way to your film.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad you picked up on a lot of things in this session, this short session we're having, and I appreciate that. And that... Well, as I say sometimes, no matter what you think of the Dead movies, you're going to be taken to places that you won't see in any other film, because we've made a point, Howard speaking, that we've made a point of not just filming in the places where other movies did. If another movie is shot there, we move on.
Yeah.
We move on to a place you haven't seen so we can give you something new.
Yeah, well, that certainly comes through. So I know we're running out of time here, but can you tell me quickly what's up next for you guys?
John speaking here. Actually, Howard asked me to tell you. You're off to Morocco, actually.
In less than a week, in fact, less than 7 days, I shall be landing in Morocco to shoot a thriller about, you're getting an exclusive here, I think, about it's called Never Let Go, about a woman desperately searching for her missing child, quite a harrowing piece. And John, you've written a great
thriller.
I'll let you...
for me, John, I've a project of passion, again, I only want to make a film that's from the heart, as it were. And after watching many, many years of unsatisfying revenge movies, I finally decided I'm going to have to do one myself to correct all,
all
the things I feel are flawed in them. Next year I'll be, early next year, moving into production on a brutal revenge thriller.
Well, that's great. We're going to look forward to it. But in the meantime, of course, Tuesday, the Blu-ray and DVD of The Dead 2 India comes out from Anchor Bay, and we're all going to be looking for that. And I want to thank you, too, for both taking the time to join us today, and wish you the best of luck.
Thanks to you, too, and really thanks to everyone for supporting the movies and everyone who buys it. We really, really appreciate it. It might just bring on part three.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll be looking for it. Take care, guys.
Take care. Thank you.
Take care. All right.